Great to have you with us on WPR News. You know, every two months, during the course of a year, we bring our book club members together. And you're a book club member, whether you know it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
And we, at the beginning of the year, we like to do an announcement of the books for the new year. And so it's time to reveal our 2026 book club list. And executive producer for the show, Jill Nadeau, in the studio with me to talk about the six books we've chosen and a bit about the authors themselves. And, you know, we'd like to hear from you, too, along the way. What kinds of books have inspired you? What did you think of last year's list? What would you recommend maybe down the road? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. And Joe, why don't you talk about the process we go through to select these books?
Sure, Larry. Thanks so much, and Happy New Year to everybody out there. So what we try to do throughout the year, we have good intentions creating a list of possible candidates. And we look at that list then usually in December. A lot of times we have neglected that and kind of start doing it in October, November. But I try to do that because sometimes we get so many books and so many of them are so good, but we just don't have the time to put them on the air. So we kind of carved out a little bit of a special place to put those and considering that. So we have this list, we get together with our team and we take a look at them and talk about
them.
And
we have a criteria.
We do. We want to make sure that there's some kind of connection to Wisconsin or close. So maybe it's from Minnesota or Illinois, but either the author lives here, has lived here. They're talking about Wisconsin.
In the book.
That's kind of our criteria. We're looking at novels usually, although some of them are kind of novel-y, but not necessarily novels. So that's how we kind of look at it and figure it out.
And we, you know, in the course of a year, we'll do 50 books probably, or close to it.
Close to it, yeah.
How's this different than the other authors that we have for the books?
Well, the idea was that we wanted listeners to read ahead of time, because a lot of times when you talk about a book, no one has really read it or heard about it, especially because mm-hmm. a lot of times they're brand new. Mm-hmm. These books have been out for a little while in most cases, and so we want people to read them ahead of the time that we talk to the author. So just as like in a book club, everybody's kind of on the same page, so to speak, and we can get questions from listeners if they've read it and they're wondering about it.
And you, as executive producer and the boss, contact the authors.
I do.
How do they react?
They're always so thrilled, Larry. And even though it's an email, I don't usually call because you know how that goes. But I'll email, and you can just tell they're so excited. And I know there are six authors right now. I told them they can't really reveal it to their social media until after we announce it. So I think they're all waiting patiently so that they can tell all of their friends, family, and fans that they're going to be on the book club.
Well, let's get to the books.
Yeah.
Our first book is Waltraud, A True Story of Growing Up in Nazi Germany by Tammy Borden. And this one was suggested by a listener, Jim Poston.
That's right. And that happens sometimes.
Yeah. Well, maybe before we get to the book itself, how can folks suggest books or topics for the show?
If you have a book, remember our criteria. So we want some kind of relationship to Wisconsin, Midwest on the outset. also looking more for a novel, and not super long because we have to read all these, so it takes a while. But just send them in, and also that they're not too old. We don't want them more than 2-3 years old.
Yeah.
It's just a way of narrowing things down. So, yeah, then you can just send us an email at talk@wpr.org is our general email. So anytime you want to contact us, please just send something there. Even if we're not on the air, we still look at it.
So what's the story about?
Well, this is a really interesting story because the author, Tammy, it's about her mother who was growing up in northern Germany when she was young. This takes place in 1937. And as you know, this was not a great time to be living in Germany for most people. And it's different because it's her viewpoint of what it was like to actually be in Germany at the time and what the... There was that fear and the what was going on with the Nazis and all that. So we've got basically it's a firsthand account through her daughter about what was going on and what it was like.
And I'm thinking of themes here. We've got resilience, we've got resistance, and of course, survival.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear. There's defiance, you know, which it's hard to do sometimes, especially in those circumstances. So, yeah.
I saw a little note from her that she professionally had helped others write and tell their own stories through various articles and books and blogs, and she says, now it's my turn.
Yeah. And that's really true. And she was smart enough to record some of her mom's stories. So
I spent years doing that.
Yeah, yeah. How many of us have thought, gee, I wish I had done that?
Oh, man. You got that right. So it's Waltraud, A True Story of Growing Up in Nazi Germany by Tammy Borden. And in February.
February 19th. So we try to have the books on the third Thursday of every other month, starting in February. And I'll have those all listed on our webpage after we're done here sometime today. But they're way down at the bottom. But so if you scroll down, you will see those too. So don't think you have to write these down. But that gives you plenty of time to go and get that book. You can rent it from the borrow it from the library. You can go out and buy it, or I think it's probably an ebook too. So
yeah, well then February, March, April 16th, we're going to be talking to Quan Berry about her latest book. It's titled The Unveiling. What can you tell us about this novel?
Well, first of all, I've got to say that Quan Berry, or whoever picked out the cover for this book, did a really good job.
Yes.
There's something so sinister about it. It's kind of interesting because this is an iceberg, and usually with an iceberg, most of it's below the water, but with this picture, most of it's above the water. So I haven't had a chance to read this, so I'm not quite sure why, but I'm curious to find out. But basically, here's the story. It's genre bending, okay, from what the description is. It's a literary horror set in Antarctica, and it looks at abandonment, guilt, survival, and it's they're on a cruise. There's a black film scout, and her mission is to photograph potential locations for this big budget movie about Ernest Shackleton's expedition, which was doomed, of course. So, and along the way, she's just finding native wildlife, and then there's some tourists that cause some problems. So, there's a kayaking excursion that goes terribly wrong.
Yes.
As they do.
And they're wound up on an ice floe or something.
It's an island, I believe.
An island, is that it?
I
tell you, I'm really looking forward. I look forward to all of our books, but I thought this one is going to be, this is different and really cool. It's the title is The Unveiling.
That's right. And she
Gwen Berry is an interesting person, too.
She really is. She's written 8 books of fiction and some poetry, and she won the 2020 ALA Alex Award. And she is a professor of English at University of Wisconsin-Madison. So she won't have too far to go when she comes over and talks to you, Larry.
That's right. We'll have her in person.
Yes.
Well, let's see. Let's take another one. In June, we'll talk about the novel Pigeon Falls, mm-hmm. and the author's Jeff Elzinga, Wisconsin product there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And this looks like a really interesting one, too. So it's set during a week in a small town in the Driftless area of Wisconsin, and it takes place with a traveling construction crew and all the challenges that go with this and trying to get this project finished before winter arrives. I think we can all deal with that one. We've all
Was it
been
wind
there.
Turbines? Or
I believe that it is wind turbines. Yes, it is wind turbine builders. And they're kind of out of the way. And there's challenges, of course, and it tests the crew's character, and of course, it threatens to pry the team apart. And there's a pig farmer
involved in it too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So.
So I'm looking forward to talking to Jeff about that book for sure. And here's another Wisconsin professor.
Yeah. Do you have that information, Larry? Because I can't see it for some reason.
He graduated from St. Olaf and Columbia, both degrees from both those places. He was a Foreign Service officer for the U.S. Department of State.
He served in Tunisia
and mm-hmm. Malawi, and then I hear more than 20 years. He was a college instructor and retired in 2018 as an emeritus professor of writing at Lakeland University in Wisconsin.
That's right. So another professor.
With strong Wisconsin ties.
Yeah. So does that mean when you retire, Larry, you're going to write something for us?
I always thought, you know, we've got on the 7th floor of Vilas Hall, there's two elevators. One elevator works, and the other one has never worked. It had to do with running out of money when the building was built. And the elevator, the shaft was there, but they couldn't afford the elevator at the time, as the story goes. And then they were going to wait till the next fiscal year, and they didn't get around to it. And then I think the company had quit making that particular elevator.
We got the shaft, Larry.
So the title of my mystery will be The 7-Story Shaft.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Yeah. If it's good enough, Larry, I might have you back.
Oh, it's probably going to take about 5 years to write, but
at least.
I'm going to give it a shot. Well, at the end of summer.
Yes, in August.
We have the title of the novel, I believe, Scarred But Not Broken by Olivia Karimi Jones.
Right, and this is a memoir.
It is.
And it's a thinner book. I started reading it, and I didn't want to put it down. It was so interesting and such a viewpoint that you don't really get. It actually takes place in Africa, although the author lives in Verona. It's just something that most of us have not ever had to experience, but it's moving. You know, they're talking about resilience and sacrifice and hope, which is, you know, so important in a book like this. And it basically talks about a woman who's thrust into marriage at a really young age, and she's left to raise her daughters alone in brutal, brutal poverty. And the rejection she gets because she is basically a single mom. And it's from her family and his family. And it's deep, it's dark, but there's hope.
And through education and motherhood and personal restoration, I think mm-hmm. were the terms. And she is Kenyan American author.
Yes, she is. She was born in poverty. Obviously, this is a memory of hers. She is today a dedicated nurse, which we've had a number of nurses that have written books. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine with their experience that that makes it sense. That makes sense for sure. So,
well, I think it's also the nurses that I've known either personally or I was in the hospital myself, they're caring people and they're insightful. They tend to be, in my experience, caring and insightful. And some of them, as is the case with Olivia Karimi Jones, can put those thoughts and those emotions to words.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's pretty cool, and I'm looking for. I won't be whoever replaces me will be doing that interview, but I can tell you for sure, I will be listening into that. Hopefully, maybe I'll call in with my own comment.
There you go,
along.
Larry. There you go.
In October, we have Janice Falk on to talk about her book, and her book is titled "Not Yet Lost." What can the reader find between the covers of that book?
Well, it was interesting because the publisher actually said, this is for fans of Kristen Hanna and Jennifer Shiverini. And obviously, we've had Jennifer on a number
of times.
And it's a novel about a Polish immigrant woman who fights against worker oppression in Depression-era Detroit, despite opposition by many, including her husband. So, it's described as gritty, cinematic, and Florence and her best friend are enraged by the poor treatment, the low wages, and they do something about it. It's about the Eastern immigrant struggle, which, of course, the beginning of the century was very, very in the headlines. And there's communism, there's xenophobia, there's secret societies, there's all kind of stuff. And basically, it's like, is our heroine going to resolve her conflicts both inside and outside of the home? So that sounds like it should be really fun, too.
Well, and I was reading a little report on, or a little biography, short, very short one, but it mentions her life, and in her first act, she raised a family, she pursued a business career, and lived large and wide.
Yes.
And whoever's doing the interviewing, I would start with that large and wide part. Graduated from Michigan and Northwestern, and now in her second act, you can find her kayaking the Great Lakes or pruning lavender plants on her organic farm.
In Door County.
In Door County.
Yeah. Yes.
She and her husband, Jim, currently live in a home they built by combining a couple of 157-year-old log cabins.
Amazing. Amazing. she will be a wonderful interview as all of our authors. That was something that a lot of them had in common, is they got such interesting backgrounds that we can not only talk about the book when we talk to them, but also about themselves. So.
And, excuse me, the last book for 2026, for our book club at least, believe me, we'll be interviewing many other authors along the way, but the last book, our December edition selection, is titled Settle Down, and the author is Rit Dietz. What's the theme in Settle Down?
It's all about what is home. When we're going to be doing this in December, so I think that's an important topic when you're thinking about it. And it's about a college kid who's got hypnotic powers, which I'm eager to read about. And he keeps telling himself that there's just got to be more waiting for him when he graduates. He graduates from UW-Madison, I believe. And he wants to get out, as many people do, and he goes to the University of Virginia, majors in history, but he has no idea what he's going to do with it, and he ends up in a catering job, and he's telling Southern folk tales to his coworkers and puts them to sleep, which I thought was interesting. But it's one of these books where it's real, but it's a little surreal, I guess. So that should be a really fun way to close out the question, because then he returns to Madison and he's still, maybe he's going to ask the big question, what is home anyway? So
it's interesting because he, the author, Rit Dietz, he teaches French at the UW-Madison. So here's another professional, a professor, Ty.
Mm-hmm.
An accomplished songwriter, a musician. He's also a Kentucky colonel and a knight in France's, the country of France's, Order of Academic Palms, which is really, it's a prestigious national order. It was established by Napoleon in 1908, and it recognizes distinguished contributions to French education, culture, and science, and it's awarded to academics or teachers or non-teachers for eminent service.
Yeah, pretty cool. And the Kentucky Colonel title is pretty cool, too. I can't remember exactly what you have to do to get that, but so Rit's going to be a very interesting interview also. It's all really great books to look forward to.
So how many did we review? It's a large number.
For this one, you mean?
Yeah.
For this, I think we had about 20 maybe on the list, maybe a little less. We kind of winnow them out as we go, too, if they don't quite meet the criteria. And then we have to remember that we still do other books along the way. But these are the ones we picked to have people read along with us.
Yeah, and sometimes some of the other books may wind up on the show, but maybe in another.
Right, right. So maybe we had that author on before, and, you know, we kind of hate to give this opportunity to the same author, but it has nothing to do with their quality of their book, but, we're trying to get as much diverse information and authors that you might not have picked up and read. I'm always so pleasantly surprised when I find out about a book. It's like, I don't think that appeals to me. But then I read it and I'm like, whoa, that was amazing. So that's kind of what we're trying to do.
That is one of the most fun parts of this job for me is, and there are, with 50 books or thereabouts, maybe it's 45,
it depends on the year
to the next. But there are many is the occasion over the years when I have gotten a book and I thought, why did the producer or why
or
are we
chill?
And then I read the book and it's like, wow. And it's something, and I think to myself, you know what, Mueller, this is something you probably never would have read except, and that's the exciting thing for me. Here I've read something that I wouldn't have read, and probably there are a lot of other people listening who would have said, well, I'm not going to read that.
Yeah.
But then you listen, you listen to the author, and I know it results in a lot of book sales people doing it. It was around Christmas time. I interviewed an author. This is some years ago, probably before you even started. And I had such a good time with the author, and I'd had to return the book, I think, for one reason or another. I had to return the book, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy one for Christmas. And I went to the university bookstore, and this is like a couple weeks after the show, and I said, do you have a copy of this book? And he said, it is the darndest thing. That book came out. I had numerous copies 6 months ago. We put it out. He said, I don't think we sold maybe one or two. And they all sold in the last 2 weeks. So I was mad. First, I didn't get a copy of the book right away, but I was also happy that we've helped some authors, and we've also helped some listeners
yes.
find something that's important to mm-hmm. them.
Something that's different.
Well, Jill, you've talked long enough.
Thanks, Larry. I'm sure a lot of people would agree with you.
It's not the normal way I tell a guest.
I'm done. His boss.
Yeah. See, I can do it on the air. No, you can't do anything to me now.
Not
you have
now.
To wait till afterwards. Jill Dadeau with us. Coming up, though, we're gonna have some fun talking about the winter holiday season and talk with Ann Sayre, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, about what the heck's going on in Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller.